Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
So good to be here, South Campus. How are we doing today? You doing good? Man, I'm excited about our building. I'm really excited about our building. Have we even announced that we're doing three services? Have we even announced that? I don't even know if we have. I'm just going to announce it now. When we get into our building, we will not just be doing a 10 a.m. and a 12 p.m., but we will also be launching a 5 p.m. service. Triple the fun. There we go. I'm not sure if that was meant to be a secret. Whatever. Don't tell anyone. Yeah, don't tell anyone that. That's a secret, but only you guys know that. You can grab your seat. Why don't you grab your seat and high-five the person next to you and tell them they're awesome. And I'm gonna steal this coffee here. I'm not running off a lot of sleep. I'm going to tell you that up front. I'm not sure what I'm going to say. Last night I was drifting, about to go to sleep. It's like 12:15. It's pretty late. And I make the crazy mistake of checking my emails. Silly. And I'm flying to Australia tonight. And so I find an email from the airline, and I'm not going to name any names. Let's just pretend the airline's name's Qantas, all right? And they send me an email, and it's like the worst email of all time. It's like, your flight has been delayed. Please call this number. I'm like, what? No details, just tells me the flight's been delayed, so I have to call them. I'm on hold with them for an hour. So I'm thinking, I don't know, I can't just show up to the airport at LAX and not know what's going to happen. I'm not that kind of person. Anyway, it's all good. They rescheduled me, and I'm going to still fly out tonight. It's going to be okay, but I went to bed at like, I don't know, 1:30, and I was like wide awake by then. So I'm not sure what I'm going to say today, but hopefully it'll be good. I'm preaching from the Bible, which is the Word of God, so that's a good place to start. Worst case scenario, we read a couple of scriptures, we have some fun, we go home, and we invite people to church next week for Easter. Amen. Hey, I want to give a shout out to all the folks that came out yesterday to our team clean at the South Campus building. Amazing. We had close to 40 people show up, and we cleaned the entire building, and the general contractor was blown away. The company that's building our church has been around for three generations, and they've built a lot of churches, actually, in the 60s and 70s, and he was saying, man, I'm just blown away by your people. They're hardworking. They're doing a great job, and they're going to give us a credit for all the work we did. Amen. So it saves church money, and we get to build the kingdom, huh? We get to actually, do something. I was sweeping so good. You should have seen me yesterday. It was like, man, my triceps are still sore. I might not even be able to hold a microphone today. I was sweeping so much. Anyway, let's have fun in church. It's so fun to preach. I love preaching to y'all more than the other campuses, much more. And let's just take a moment to honor our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. Come on. Let's get into this. Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. I'm going to read to you from the NLT, and then I'm going to read it again in the message. And then we're going to get into this message. It's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. I think we're going to have some fun today in church. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. It's good news. You may remember that when you get saved, but somewhere along the way you may forget that. It actually is good news. It's good. We have a lot of bad news happening, but how many people know that despite what's going on in your world and in the world, we always have the good news to come back to, and that's non-negotiable. It's good news. Just saying. I'm not even preaching about that. I just wanted to say that. It's good news. And Jesus healed every kind of disease and illness. Verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Let's time out for a minute. The Bible often refers to people as sheep. It's interesting. Part of me is kind of bummed about it. I would have probably preferred God to refer to us as like lions or, you know, eagles. Yeah, or bears. Bears. People are like bears. One bear, one mission this summer. Coming to a theater near you. I would much rather have been a cooler animal than a sheep. I mean, sheep are cool, though. I like sheep. Sheep are gentle. They're easy to lead, sheep. They don't go around attacking people, typically. There's probably an exception, but they don't typically attack people. And I come from Australia, which is the most dangerous country in the world when it comes to being attacked by animals. It really is. I mean, you could be in Australia, just mind your own business, and get bitten by a snake or a spider, and you could die that day. Like, it's crazy. I'm serious. You go down the street in Australia. I remember getting attacked by birds, and I've talked about that before. There's birds in Australia that attack you. There's a jellyfish in Australia that if it stings you, you die in a couple of hours. You're having a surf, having a good time, doing nothing wrong. You get stung by this jellyfish, you die. So Australia's crazy. Don't go there. I mean, I'm going there tonight. I'm going there tonight, and I'm scared, man. I'm scared. Terrified. But typically, sheep don't attack anyone. I've never met someone with one leg in Australia. I said, man, what happened to your leg? What happened to your leg? Oh, mate, you wouldn't believe it. That's an Australian accent. Mate, I was coming out of the pub, coming out of the bar with my mate Jono, which is a really cliche Australian name. With Jono, mate, and coming out of the pub, mate, and stepped outside, and, mate, bunch of sheep just hanging out the front of the pub, mate. A whole gang of them, just a gang of sheep with wool and hoofs. Oh, jeez, mate. So I stare the sheep down. I'm like, what are you looking at, sheep? Huh? You want to fight? Next thing I know, three sheep jump me. Jono runs away. One of the sheep's got me in a headlock with his little hoof. Other sheep rips my leg straight off, mate. Straight off. Gone. That's never happened, okay? Someone's like, oh my gosh, sheep do that? No, I'm kidding. Sheep don't do that. Sheep aren't crazy. Sheep aren't violent animals. They're not. They're gentle. They're not attacking people. The reason why I think God refers to us as being sheep is because sheep need shepherding. People need pastoring. Every sheep needs a shepherd. Every person needs a pastor. And maybe we should invite people to church, yeah, but let's shepherd people to church. Let's shepherd people to church next Sunday on Easter, on the Sunday where almost anyone will come to church if they're brought to church, led to church. Amen? Anyway, I'm just digressing. Verse 37, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. I remember sharing this scripture at our very first prayer meeting we ever had at the South Campus before we even launched this campus a couple of years ago. And it was the very first scripture that God gave me when we were starting this. And we had prayer meeting with like 12 people in a room. And that was the first thing that was said, that there's a harvest that's plentiful, but there are workers that are few. So we don't have a worker shortage. Sorry, we don't have a harvest shortage. We have a worker opportunity. To be nice about it. We have a worker shortage. We don't have a harvest shortage. If you're wondering, you actually live in a harvest field. South Bay, San Diego is our harvest field. It's our mission field. Listen, if you're wondering, oh God, what do you want me to do with my life? What's my mission? So many people are asking God, what's my mission? Am I meant to go to the nations? Am I supposed to go and live in Africa for 2 years and then bounce over to India for 5 years and then and do all these missions trips? And missions are great. I've done missions trips and they're awesome. And you should do a missions trip, especially if you're an entitled teenager. Then you definitely should do a missions trip. and see how hard people have it as you come home to your Xbox and your comfort. Mission trips are good, but I'm telling you, you don't need to get on a plane and fly outside of the world to be on a mission. We are already on a mission. We live in a mission field. We live in a harvest field called San Diego, amen? Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I can say that because Pastor Stacy's not here and she's over the missions department, so I can do that. She's in Australia right now. Pray for her. Oh my gosh. We're in a city full of people that could be just one invitation, just one shepherding away from being with Jesus. Amen. Now, let me read that scripture again, Matthew 9 in the Message version. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in the meeting places, reported kingdom news. That's the good news. He healed their diseased bodies. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. He healed their disease, their physical diseases he heals. But then another statement here says he healed their bruised and hurt lives. Next week on Easter, God is not just interested in healing someone's physical ailment. He's not just interested in healing them of their sore arm, although he'll do that. He's not just interested in healing somebody of their cancer, although he will do that. I'm telling you, he's actually interested as well as healing people's hurt lives. There are people walking around and they may not have a sore back that needs healing, but they got a sore heart that needs healing. They've had a few bruises that they're walking around with shame, with guilt, with regret, and I'm telling you, bringing them to church next week, we're going to see some people set free of some things they got in their world, some regrets, some marriage that didn't work, or some family dysfunction. Jesus wants to heal people of their hurt lives and their bruises. Anyway, when Jesus looked over the crowd, his heart broke. His heart was broken for people. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. Get on your knees and pray for harvest hands. The title of my message this morning is Broken Heart, Harvest Hands. Let's pray. God, I thank you for everybody in here today. I thank you for our amazing church. I love our church. I love our people. I pray that this week we would find ourselves getting around people, bringing them to church next Sunday, shepherding them in, inviting them, and that we're going to see hundreds of people next week in here getting transformed, getting saved, being set free, being healed. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 Why don't you bump your neighbor and say, put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on. And if you have a seatbelt in your chair, that's very interesting. Remarkable. So Jesus looked over the crowds and his heart broke. His heart broke. Do you remember your first broken heart? Do you remember it? Statistically now, three people are really hurting inside. Let it go. I remember my first broken heart. I was 10. She might have been 11. I was an older woman. I don't know. Things were going pretty well. You know, we were hanging out, playing. You know, but it just wasn't really working. You know, it's not working. Like she's got her stuff. Like we're not the same love language. You know, she's quality time, and I'm like, man, I've really got to be about my Nintendo right now. I've got to commit to that. Like I've got a career in this gaming thing, and you know, I can't just be over here like listening to all the things you've got to say and your emotions and your new toy. Like I can't do that. So look, it's not you. It's me. It's me. So we parted ways and. You know, it hurt. Like it's a broken heart, you know. Hurt for about 20 minutes. 20 minutes of pain. And I didn't think about it ever again. But the broken heart I'm talking about that is referred to here that Jesus has is not like this. You see, a broken heart out of a relationship will heal. It will heal. Even if it hurts, it will heal. But a broken heart for lost people, that doesn't really heal. Doesn't go away. The ache in your heart for the lost doesn't go away. You can't solve that. It's just there. There's an uneasiness to a life that has a broken heart for the lost. There's an inconvenience to to a life that has a broken heart for the lost. And my prayer today is not that we would talk about loving people better, or I would talk you and I into loving people more. Rather, my prayer is that our hearts, your heart and my heart, would be broken again, or maybe broken for the first time for lost people. My prayer today is that we would invite people not out of religious obligation or because there's a clever marketing card or because it's the right thing to do. My prayer today is that you and I, our hearts would be broken so that when we see people, we see them the way that Jesus saw them. That we don't just see them as someone who we just invite to church because it's the thing to do, but we see them as someone, gosh, that needs Jesus. You're far from God. You need God. That's how we get people to church. That's how we get people to church. My prayer today is that everybody in this movie theater / church would see themselves in full-time ministry. That ministry is not limited to just the pastor of the church. Come on, I'm over the days where it's like this special holy person that can do everything and the people just come in and people just go and they're a Christian one day a week. But no, listen, you're all called to be in full-time ministry. In fact, many of you are going to have a lot more opportunities that I won't have. I work with Christians all day. It drives me crazy. It drives me nuts. But you'll get to be out there in the community. You don't know who the person next to you in the cubicle next to you. I can't invite that person to church, but you can. I can't buy that person lunch, but you can. The Great Commission is not limited to a few religious, holy people. It's for everyone. It's for all of us together to build the church. Someone say amen. What a tragedy it is that we have people that go out on the street corners and rather than loving people, they're condemning people. Wow. They're yelling at people. Oh my gosh, makes me so angry, man. I don't do well when I see a street preacher because 99% of the time they're yelling, you're going to hell. God hates you. Like, who says that? Man, the crazy thing is, with all that passion and fire and free time that these street preachers have, they can't have jobs, man. Like, seriously, we're paying for their welfare because they don't have a job. But anyway, because that's why they're out there all day yelling at people. If the street preacher would stop yelling at 100 people and instead just take one person to Starbucks, buy them a pumpkin spice latte at 145 degrees, light whip with a bagel on the side, toast that bagel, put some cream cheese on that bagel. If the street preacher would stop yelling at 100 people and just start loving one person, they'd actually see some difference. They'd actually see something happen. They'd actually see someone change. They'd actually see someone maybe meet Jesus. Here's the thing. We need less street preachers and more people reachers. People don't need you to preach to them. They don't. Here's the thing. Look, this is something I figured out. People don't care about our theology until they know that we care about them. If you lead the conversation with theology and then circle back to love, you'll never reach anybody. But if we spend 90% of our time loving people and 10% of the time telling about Jesus, I'm telling you, we will see people come into the house of God, because that's what people need. People need to know that we love them, that we're for them. They don't need us to Bible bash them. This is the good news, not the bad news. It's the good news. Love people. Jesus' heart broke for people. His heart broke. Man, harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And when I say love people, I'm talking about all people. I'm not talking about a certain class of people or a specific type of person. Jesus loved all people. He loved all people. Let me mess with your theology for a moment. This is going to offend about 6 to 10 people, but I'm cool with that. I don't care. I don't. I'm not here to pander to the 6 to 10 that get offended and leave. I'm here to preach to the other ones that actually want to stay and build a church. So you'll hear people say, and I've heard people say, I've heard Christians, good-meaning Christians, that just have a slight theology adjustment they need to make. That, oh man, you know, oh, I just want to go feed the homeless. The homeless really need Jesus. And yes, they do. They need Jesus. I've fed homeless people in San Diego. They really need Jesus. But you know who else needs Jesus? Middle class people, upper class people, wealthy people, poor people, people in between. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. In fact, the theology that the poorer you are, it's a scale, that the poorer you are, the more you need Jesus. The theology of that has to imply that the richer you are, the less you need Jesus. That has to imply that money actually is a god that's suitable for somebody. And the more, and if we can get poor people to be rich, they won't need God. Basically is what that theology says. And I'm not saying we shouldn't feed homeless people. We should absolutely feed homeless people. We need to bring homeless people in. I love the fact that we have some homeless people that even come to our campus. And we need to have homeless people in our church. But I'm telling you, your status has nothing to do with your salvation. People's status has nothing to do with it. Our hearts need to break for the rich person who needs Jesus just as much as the poor person. Everybody needs Jesus the same. Your status has nothing to do with your salvation. You know that there are no country clubs in hell. Do you know that? There's no country clubs. You know, rich people and poor people go to the same heaven or the same hell. The homeless person could go to heaven, and the wealthy person could go to hell. And the devil's not on the front door at hell greeting people, because he wouldn't do that anyway. He's not nice. He's the devil. Okay. He's not on the front door welcoming in the wealthy folks that lived on planet Earth with a special treatment. Oh, hello, Mr. Thompson. Welcome to hell. I'm the devil. Pleased to meet you. I don't know what that accent is. I think it's English. The devil is English. I don't know. I'm kidding. He's not English. Don't write an email to me. He just has a weird accent. Hello, Mr. Thompson. Welcome to hell. I'm the devil. Pleased to meet you. I see that you're a billionaire on Earth. Well done to you. We've got a beautiful corner suite for you with views over the golf course and the Lake of Fire. Fantastic views. That Lake of Fire looks fantastic this time of year. Oh, your suite includes air conditioning, which you're going to need. It gets hot down here. And best of all, no HOA fees and no HOA committee. Oh, welcome to hell. That does not happen. That does not happen because your status has nothing to do with your salvation, and we need to be just as good at reaching the middle-class folks that live here in Eastlake or Bonita or National City or wherever. We need to be just as passionate about reaching them as we are about reaching somebody else in a different circumstance. Jesus' heart broke for all the people. It didn't say it broke for certain people that had a hard life. It broke for everybody. We could be the only invitation that somebody ever gets to church. You and I could be the only Bible that someone actually gets to read. That's a scary thought in itself. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We are called to be workers. The title of this message, as I said, is Broken Heart, Harvest Hands. You know, a shepherd loves with his heart, but he leads with his hands. Hands have to do something. I love the story in Matthew 18, where it says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Will he leave the 99 and go after the one that's lost? And if he finds it, he will rejoice over it more over the 99 that didn't wander away. We have a God that cares about the 1% of lost people. If there was 99% of found people and 1% was missing, we have a God that even 99% is not enough. He loves everyone. So love has to go beyond our feeling and emotion and our broken heart and into an action. It has to go from our heart and into our hands. See, we can have a broken heart for somebody, but it's our hands that pick up the phone to call them. It's our hands that take the invitation card, give it to them. It's our hands that bakes a bunch of cupcakes on Good Friday and then goes to the neighbor's house and says, hey, you know, I baked like 30 cupcakes and I realized that I shouldn't eat this because I've gained 20 pounds last month. So I'm just going to give these cupcakes to you. And I'd love to see you come to church on Sunday. It's your hands that do those things. It's not your heart. It has to start with your heart, but it has to translate into your hands, our hands. You never see a farmer just hanging out on his porch all day, just sipping on, is it sweet tea? The Texas thing, sweet tea? It's pretty delicious. It's really unhealthy, right? Lots of sugar? Yeah. It's delicious, but we don't see the farmer sitting on his porch all day. With his heart is for the harvest. But if the farmer sits on his porch all day, he ain't going to bring a harvest in. He has to get out of his little rocking chair. He has to put the sweet tea down for a minute. He has to go into his harvest field. He has to open his door, walk out into his neighborhood. He has to walk into his harvest field and bring the harvest in, not with his heart, but with his hands. Our hands are what brings in the harvest. Our action is what brings in the harvest. Amen? You ever see it's really practical what I'm talking about here. This is not like super spiritual. Don't make something spiritual that doesn't need to be. Don't make it real spiritual, okay? Christians always do this. Make something really spiritual. It's not that spiritual. It's really practical. It's more practical than spiritual. For example, you drive past a big building on fire. Big building on fire. That's a scary sight, right? There's fire trucks out the front. You ever drive past a building on fire and there's 50 firefighters just hanging outside the building and talking about, we should probably go in there and do something. In fact, before we go in there, let's have a half-hour prayer meeting. Let's pray. Let's pray and pray and pray for half an hour, and then we'll go and, maybe a few of us will, a few of us won't. Well, let's just worship. Let's just worship. Let's just soak. Let's just soak in the presence, man. Come on. It's about soaking. It's about just being with God. The building's burning. We're the only ones that can rescue them, but let's just soak. There's a time to pray. We all need to soak. We all need to find God. We all need to worship God. But you don't drive past a building on fire with firefighters out the front strategizing or praying about or worshiping God. You see firefighters kicking the door down, risking their own lives, climbing up the stairs, pulling out that person that if they don't get to them in the next 10 seconds, they ain't gonna live. I'm not saying not to pray. We need to pray. There's a time and a place for everything. And sometimes you just need to go and kick the door down and rescue somebody and pull them into church. Their life's fallen apart. Everything's gone bad. Pull them out of that building. Get them in your car. Get them to church. Amen. And believe me, I'm not saying not to pray or worship God. Don't take that out of context. There's a time and a place. Knowing the time and the place is the challenge. Knowing what to do. Knowing when it's just a practical thing you got to do. I could spend an hour a week praying for my neighbor, an hour a week. But if I never go over there and knock on his door and say, hey, man, haven't seen you for a while. Yeah. Usually we have a little conversation at the mailbox. Haven't seen you. You're still getting mail. What's happening? I could pray all day for my neighbor, but I need to go and do something for my neighbor. We need to give cupcakes to our neighbor so I don't eat them. And he does. And he comes to church and he gets saved. Amen. The keys, band, why don't you guys come up? We're going to finish up. We moved to the States 6 years ago, I think it was, just over 6 years ago. And I remember going to Walmart for the first time. Anyone love Walmart? Yeah. Come on now. Don't pretend you're too good for Walmart now. Don't pretend that. The same people that lie that they don't go to Walmart, the same people that lie saying they don't go to McDonald's. They sell a billion hamburgers a day. We're all users. We're all users. I'm not too good for Walmart. I'm going to say that. I'm not too good for Walmart. I wouldn't go there at 3 a.m. in the morning, but mind you, I wouldn't go most places at 3 a.m. in the morning. So when you go to Walmart, as you walk in front door, right, there's a wall in the foyer. People's pictures are on there. Because they've gone missing. Because they're lost. The first time I saw that, after never seeing that in Australia, first time I saw that was here in America 6 years ago. It was kind of confronting to me. I was like, whoa, man. It's one thing to hear about a lost person or to know that lost people are out there, but when you actually see their face, someone's son, someone's daughter has gone missing. And they went missing 3 years ago, and here's their picture. They're lost. They're lost. Listen, if our church was like a Walmart. It's not. If our church was like a Walmart, what does our foyer look like? There's names, there's pictures. Who's missing? Who's not here yet? Not here yet. Who's missing? Who do we need to put on that wall that we A, pray for, B, we love, and C, we bring? We've got to pray for people, we've got to love people, we've got to bring people. Who needs to be on that wall? Going back to the original text, when Jesus looked over the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. Sheep don't go missing because they're bad. Sheep go missing because they're lost. People don't necessarily fall away from Jesus because they're a bad person. They're just lost. And what we need to do is bring them into the house of God, reconnect them with their Savior again. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We have a city that needs Jesus, amen. We have a city that needs Jesus. We're literally surrounded by hundreds of thousands of people that need Jesus. They need an encounter. They don't need another religious sermon. They need Jesus. They need the power of God. They need the Word of God. They need a sermon. Hear me right in that. Let's bring them in next week at Easter, amen.
Yeah.
Let's bring them in. Because we're not here to play church, are we? We're not here to play church. We're not just here to have a little gathering of Christians. Just a little huddle where we can talk about Christian things. Christian stuff. What's your favorite book of the Bible? Oh, Ephesians. Awesome. We're not here just to hang out and get in our little clicky groups. Our connect groups are not meant to be a Christian hangout. We're not supposed to just get together and just stay a little group of people. You know what? I get sad when I hear someone say, man, I got saved a year ago and I just ditched all of my old friends. I don't even talk to any of them anymore. That's how awesome I am. I've got all these Christian friends now. I'm like, no, no. You might have been the only bridge to get that person to church, and church might have been the bridge to get them to Jesus, but now that bridge is knocked down because you want to hang out with Christians. Come on, we need to be a church that brings people into the house of God, that invites people. Come on, we got Easter coming up next weekend. We've got an enormous building. Enormous. It's so big. It's bigger than Central Campus. Don't tell them that. It's massive. We got a building to fill. We got a city to win. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Come on, let's worship Jesus. Let's sing. Come on, band, let's come and sing. Let's worship Him. Next week is Easter. Who are we going to bring to church? Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.